put this shit up, I'll put this shit up. This is the heaviest podcast. Let's fucking go. What the fuck is up? It's the heaviest podcast. 129. 129 feels good to say, Gary. I gotta admit to you.
That it's the heaviest nice podcast. Number. Weekendly worship at the altar of Radlers.
Weekend. We're recording at a weird time. It is Friday night. I've been away since Wednesday. I've just got in the door.
We literally just ran in the door.
Ran upstairs. Took my trousers off, took my socks off. Gary watched it all.
I did. It's not as weird as it sounds. Maybe it is actually. It might actually be as weird as it sounds.
It's definitely weirder.
It could even be weirder.
Oh, mate, we had a fucking right old nightmare yesterday trying to record a podcast in an Airbnb. With the worst internet ever.
With the worst, shittest internet connection.
It wouldn't even stay on the internet, mate. On my phone. You know, when it like flicks between the bars and then it goes to 4G. You know you're just in a bad situation.
It's fucking nothing's ridiculous, man. People in prison have better internet connections than that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Mate, that Airbnb was a proper shithole. Like I didn't get to see the geezer that owned it, but he came in apparently earlier, and everyone said like, well, it was me with like three other dudes and from work, and they basically said his pupils were absolutely massive, and when he came in and he was explaining like, you know, what to do, he kept really like leaning into him to sort of tell him, so he was definitely off his tits. And it was just a shithole. But like, you know what? It was you could smoke indoors. That's how much of a shithole it was. Like, that doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Fucking like, hell. Anyway. An Airbnb where they were like, you could smoke indoors, mate, whatever, I don't care.
Smoking allowed. Smoking allowed.
That says it all. That says it all, man.
I got a really good end of the deal, right? There was only like one like proper like bedroom that just had one bed in it. The other bed like with like a bunk bed situation, which the two lads they thingied, and then anyway, I lucked out. But the bathroom, like, so there was a toilet in like a random room. Like, it was like just a very small, it was obviously like a cupboard that just got turned into a toilet, but there wasn't any sink in the same room as that. And also in that room, the toilet, there was not even a bulb. There was an opening where lights would be, a nice light shade, perhaps with just a bulb in it. I would have taken a naked bulb. Just, you know, I don't need a light shade. I'm not going to, you know, be fancy about that. But not even a light bulb in the toilet, which is odd.
You have to go to the toilet by torchlight.
Well, yeah, kinda. You had to go to the toilet by torchlight. And then it was separated, so like that, it was just the toilet that was in there, just the the bit. And then there was a sink in a different room with a shower and a sink in one different room that was really big. Like, I don't know why the toilet wasn't just in there with it. It was a very, very odd place that was shit, but I didn't pay for it, worked it, so, you know, I can't complain. I can't complain.
Where were you? It's Brighton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've stayed in some ropey ass places in Brighton myself, like, understand. There's kind of like, there's no mid tier in Brighton, is there? Everyone's either really fucking poor or really fucking rich. Like, nobody's no one's sort of living in the middle like a normal person.
Just normal.
Yeah. Mate, I know we said we were gonna keep opening banter short, but I've got some top notch banter. I got a new vacuum cleaner.
Whoa, Jesus, fucking, you gotta prep me, mate, for that, dude. You can't just come in, mate. You gotta lube me up. I'm sorry, caving me in with that.
I know, we got some good music to talk about this week, but I wanted to just do a little review of my new Shark vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, it's the fucking shit. It's well good, right? I literally got it out of the box. I vacuumed my hallway and the thing was full because I didn't realise how dirty my house was until I got a vacuum cleaner that actually works.
Yeah, the whole time it's not actually been picking up. You're like, wow, it's really clean.
Isn't it? Absolutely. So I've been wasting my time vacuuming a house with a vacuum that doesn't actually work, and I didn't really realise until last week. So yeah, that was interesting. Have you seen the trailer for Matrix Resurrections?
Tag? Oh well, we're really running through this.
Yeah, no, that was it. That was it. I'm done. I'm done on the vacuum cleaner. It was mainly for the joke. It wasn't actually because it was interesting. I think it cost about. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't a cheap vacuum cleaner. I can tell you that. It might sound a bit bougie if I start telling you how much it cost me, but no, it wasn't.
I want to know, mate.
It was £200. It was £200 for this vacuum cleaner.
Ah, that's all right. That's respect. That's what they should be.
Well,
that's good. I said,
Nick was shopping for it online. I was like, don't spend more than £40 on a vacuum cleaner. She's like, yeah, well, I did that last time and it was fucking rubbish, wasn't it? I was like, oh, yeah, fair point. All right. You got me.
Dyson, you can end up fucking losing an arm. Dyson.
I've had a Dyson. They're fucking rubbish, mate. That's a con, mate. That's just a fucking brand name. They're crap. Don't get sucked into all of this bollocks about patents. Their vacuum cleaners are shit. I can't believe we've actually just done nearly 10 minutes on vacuum cleaners. I'm sorry. Well, I was only joking when I brought it up, and now you've drawn me into a conversation about them.
Yeah.
Well, Matrix Resurrections. Have you seen the trailer for Matrix Resurrections, Sonny? Come on, have you seen it?
Have I seen it? Yes. And who's that game? Are you excited? Why is he not fucking the boy Larry himself? Like, what's going on with that? Is that supposed to be a young Morpheus?
I guess so. I'm sure Lawrence Fishburne's in there somewhere, but any like well into his 70s at this point?
Nah.
I reckon he is, man.
I'm rewatching Hannibal at the moment and he's in that. And
yeah, but that was a while ago, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, it was about 10 years ago, I reckon. Maybe even longer.
I'm looking it up because I need to know, because I'm sure he's got to be... He's 60. All right, I've aged him up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's too old to be doing fucking... Too old to be learning to doing Kung Fu in the Matrix, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but he can do something. Like, just get him in there a bit.
I'm sure he will be. I'm sure at some point there'll be some sort of... fucking around with some timelines or something, and he will be in there, I'm sure.
He better be, Gary. If he's not, maybe this is his lad.
Maybe it's his son. This is Morpheus Jr.
MJ.
MJ for sure. Yeah, you never know. But yeah, I'm fucking psyched, man. I can't wait to see this film. I think it looks great.
I'm into it, mate. I'm up for it. I really hope it's good. Like, wasn't the last thing that the Wachowskis did, like that fucking Jupiter Ascending, which was absolute toilet?
Yeah. Did they do Sense8? Was that afterwards?
Sense8? That's the on TV Netflix. Show, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, I thought that was really cool. I really liked that program. I thought it was cool. It got cancelled after like 2 seasons, which is a shame because I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw it, to be honest. I'll be completely honest with you, Gary.
It's cool. So there's like 8 random people all over the world who just, they realise that they all kind of share a consciousness, so they can kind of like see into each other's lives. And like they all live in different countries. They've got nothing to do with each other. They've never met or anything like that. But they can all like, they can share their mind together. And so they kind of help each other out. Like, it's really cool. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's a really cool, really well put together programme.
That does sound pretty
sick. I liked it. I thought it was good. But then, like, I always loved The Matrix. So I was always a real nerd about The Matrix. I was wicked. So I kind of
Did you ever get the full school jacket?
Well, they call it a duster. No, I never had one of those. I don't think of that episode of Always Sunny where he gets the duster. Yeah. No, I never had one of those. But yeah, they have a slightly different connotation these days, don't they?
Do you reckon it'll be good? Do you reckon it has the possibility to be good?
I think it's got the potential to be good. Whether it actually will or not, I don't know. Yeah. But there's potential for it to be cool. I'm in for it. I'll be there to check it out. And then I'll be going the day after to see Spider-Man.
he's just rolling on that John Wick look. He's just realised that's his look. Like, yeah, he could have just like shaved his head or got him like get him shorter hair again. He's now just the long hair and the beard is just the absolute. That is the Keanu look now. Like, yeah, no man. Point. I'm trying to stop that look. It's a sick look.
There's just no purpose in attempting to do anything different because he never looked cooler than he does right now.
Never.
He's lucky to have such a fine head of hair, really, at his age. He's doing well.
He's a champ, mate. He's a fucking champ.
Any just.
Gary, before we talk about like the records that we're going to cover in proper, I wanted to ask you, because I didn't have time to get to listen to the aborted promo that we got, but
yeah.
I fucking really did it. All those singles were fucking awesome. And now that I'm back home and got the weekend to like sort of get some bits done and catch up on stuff, it is going to be first order of business tomorrow morning listening to it. How did you enjoy it? Tell me about the aborted album. Is it as fucking like, you know, did it deliver on the promise of the singles? What were we saying?
You know what, mate? It did. It's a really fucking sick record. Like, I looked them up. I've only really kind of been aware of them since we started doing the show. Like, we were going to do Terrorvision when it came out in 2019 on the show, but I don't know, it never really panned out, did it? But that was my kind of my first exposure to aborted, and then when this album like landed in our inbox, I was like, right, fuck it, let's give it a go. And it was nothing like I was expecting, to be honest with you. Like, you know, you kind of have an idea in your mind when you listen, you hit a band called Aborted and you see the artwork and the album's called like Mania Cult. You're just expected to be like just completely ridiculous. And, you know, there is an element of ridiculousness to it for sure. But actually, they're like a really technical, like really well thought out, like I don't want to say sensible, that gives the wrong idea, but like a, like they're taking their music way more seriously.
Aborted.
Well, that's what I mean. They're taking their music way more seriously than you would ever consider a band called Aborted with all of their art and stuff as it is. You'd never consider them to be like a band. Like, you'd assume it was like sort of like a slamcore or something just silly. And it's not. Yeah. It's like fucking legit. Like, and their music kind of goes the same way, where there's like, they'll do one track which is just fucking balls to the wall or like borderline grindcore. And then the next song would be much more kind of reserved and like more kind of thought out and stuff. And I was just completely blown away by the layers to it. I wasn't expecting that in there at all. And I'll tell you what, like, it's their 11th album. I didn't know that either until I was looking. They formed in 1995, and this is their 11th album. And they sound like, I mean, they're so, like, it's so hungry, this record. Like, you'd never be able to tell that in a fucking, you know, like how when you listen to, like, Violence Unimagined, you're like, fuck me. Like, this band have been going since, like, 1980 or something. All we were talking about, like, what's it called? The Napalm Death record from last year. I can't think of the name of it now.
Joys in the Throes of Defeatism.
Yeah, yeah. That when we were talking about how, like, you listen to that and you're like, the fucking singer of this band's like well into his 50s and these guys have been going for so long. And I mean, it's not quite as extreme, 1995, and they have got, if you go on their Wikipedia page, they've been through quite a few lineups, so I can imagine it's not the same. Other than the vocalist, none of them are the same people who were in the band to start with. But even still, it's insane how like vital and how vibrant it sounds, considering that they're a band on their 11th record. And yeah, I was really, really blown away by it, mate, to be honest. Like, you're the death metal guy, not me, but I was like fucking really, really surprised. Like, pleasantly fucking surprised.
Fuck,
I would strongly recommend it. There's a track, one of the tracks is called Portal of Vacuity. I think it's like track two or three. It's fucking so sick. It opens like really black metal-y. And then there's this like bit where it goes a bit sort of spooky in the middle, and there's this kind of weird vocal sample, and I kept thinking, like, where's that coming from? I thought, have I got like a YouTube video open that I've forgotten about or something? Yeah, there was this weird sample going on it.
Forgotten.
Yeah, man, exactly. It was so like, it was so strange. But it kind of, once you work out it's actually part of the song, you stop like trying to, you stop looking around. You know, when you got like, what was that? Like, it could have been a noise from outside, and you realize it's in the music you're listening to. And then you're like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. Just all these like layers and stuff like that. It's just, yeah, it's just fucking really rad. Really rad.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, that's first order surprised. Of business for me tomorrow.
Yeah. I would recommend getting on that, man. Get all over it. Yeah, it's called Mania Cult, for those of you who don't know. It's out there now. very cool. Came out, well, today, as we record, today. Friday the 10th.
The day.
Give it a go. But, mate, let's get cracking with... Because I'm so desperate to talk about this fucking album. Yeah. So desperate. It's been a long time coming for me, this one. I've been listening to this album for a long time now. So the first record we're going to talk about this week comes from a band called Replicant. They're a three-piece technical death metal band from New Jersey. Their album is called Malignant Reality, and it came out today, September the 10th, through Transcendent Obscurity. Although you wouldn't be surprised if I said that this had come out through like Willowtip Records, but also equally you wouldn't be surprised if I told you it came out through Unique Leader. That kind of gives you an idea of the sort of diversity we're dealing with this band, man. Fucking absolutely. So cool. I never really heard of them before. I don't know if you had, like, I'd never come across the band before. We got sent it, and it was like FFO, Gore Guts, Ulcerate, Burnt by the Sun. And I was like, oh, fuck me, gotta have a bit of that. Holy shit, like, there's a mixture.
Yeah.
And honestly, the second I put it on, I just knew straight away. I was like, I think I messaged you pretty much there and then. I was like, fucking hell, we just got sent this album that don't come out till September. This was in like March or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we got it so early.
It was June. It came through in June.
I've exaggerated that a little bit.
But like still, like you know, the way it works with these things is a lot of time that people will send promos and it'll be sometimes within like 4 days of the release, sometimes 2 weeks. Like there's no like set thing, but every now and then you get an album of, like, that's absolutely amazing, and it comes through like about 3 months in advance. I remember the last one that we got such a long time that we were so over thinking was I'm pretty sure we had the Varials album like 2 months before it was out or something like that. Right? It was a
in
real,
darkness.
Like,
yeah, we got it really
it was
early.
So much before, and this is and it just. Being like having this thing to go to, like you just fall in love with it more, and like I feel like this has been we've been excited about this. It's like a really good little like beautiful little secret because fucking nobody's talking about Replicant.
No, like,
we
didn't. Not.
When it came through, like we saw the FFO, and like a lot of the times our like messages between each other would be like, "Fuck me, you see that's just come through? Fucking hell, that's just come through. Jesus, geez. Like we just get excited about what comes through and things like that." But like you see those. You see the freaking the FFOs and I'm like, whoa. So you jumped in and listened straight away. You started listening to the new album that was up on that we just got through. But I, at the exact same time, went back and I put on the 2018 album. So we're both like having conversations about how brilliant this band is that we're just discovering. You're listening to the new album. I'm listening for the first time through to the 2018 one. And we're just both getting our minds blown left, right and center. We're just really just in this hype for us. And like, and that hype we've basically been stuck in for like the last like couple of since June. Like this album is fucking so special, dudes.
Oh my God. This thing is so sick. It's like... Basically, if you just blended together everything that we hold dear in the heavy sphere and mushed it all into one band, that's Replicant. This is what we've got. I mean, we don't give scores 10 out of 10 on our show because it's too much like actually reviewing a record. But if I was to give this score an album a score out of 10, I think I'd probably give it like 4,000.
Yeah, at least 3,700 out of 10.
This thing is just like, it's fucking insane. There's just everything going on. Like, they're so technical, but it's never like cold, is it? It's never like a clinical kind of technicality. It's always so real, so like just engaged. And there's like clearly no like fucking mucking around in the studio, you know, post production. Maybe there might have been the occasional little weird effect on the vocal or something, but for the most part, what there is what you hear, like the three dudes, bass, guitar, drums, and then the bassist also does vocals, and it just sounds amazing. I just don't know how they can achieve what they can, just the three of them. It's mental.
Yeah, there's no trickery. It's just straight up, like all like the flourishes and stuff, it never gets like lost in itself, and like all the flourishes are just like visceral, like the things, like the movements that it makes are just consistently just so gripping. Like, it'll be really, like, dissonant and wonky and But it also, yeah, like what you were saying about it, it being such a really good melting pot of all we love, because we obviously love that side, but then it's got this real just like this like hardcore, like metalcore, like
yeah,
sort of sensibility to like just like riffing the fuck out for a good ass time, like
mate, yeah, absolutely. Like what, you know, we've talked about plenty of dissonant death metal, dissonant black metal stuff. We've talked about plenty of those types of records, but I've never listened to one with like hooks like this one's got.
Yes.
But like, there's just like so many little moments that you just grab hold of and you can't shake. Like, I mean, I've been at intermittent periods during the last couple of weeks, every now and then one of us will send the other one like a gif, and like this is me at about 2 minutes into track two. Like I sent you one, it was like, you know, Paul Rudd in I Love You Man, slap of the bass. There's that moment in the first track where it's got that ding, boom, 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 like a weird little like bass break. And it's like, this is me right now. Like, it's just stuff like that all the way through it, where there's just little things that you just grab onto and they're so fucking cool. And yeah. I tell you what, these guys are so New York as well, aren't they? Like, they sound so New York.
Absolutely. Mate, I mean, look, some of the sections, like the cool thing is, like most of the sections that you actually do really grab onto, is just where they'll like work their way round to just worshipping this fucking incredible riff for like 30 yeah. seconds. Like that, for how interesting and like technical and dissonant it is, like they lock into just sick fucking riffs that are just undeniable, just neck snappers.
Mate, I couldn't agree more. There's so many of those just little fucking nuggets of genius. Oh, man. Yeah. I just fucking love it. Like, honestly, like, this band are, like, somewhere between, like, Pyron and Blood Incantation, but with breakdowns. Like,
yeah.
Which, what, like, that's just insane. That is a recipe for genius. Like, this thing is just so cool. And I've been, like, desperate to talk about it. And now I'm here talking about it, I'm just, like, flustered and just like, oh, my God. I just can't get over how amazing this album is. Like, help me out, man. Give me something constructive to say, because I'm just fucking babbling here.
Mate, I really like, one of the things that sort of gets you straight away, and it might not be something that you really warm to straight away, but I think it's undeniable, like you'd be about three or four tracks into this album and you'll just love it more. Like the way that the vocals, like they go from like these, like, you know, you get it in like a lot of like black metal stuff, and like they'll just like, they're like, let their voice like break, they'll just be like so like odd in a section, and it really gives this weird sort of feeling. Like they use that quite a bit in this, and it doesn't even matter. Like at first you're like, oh, that's one of them, you know, the bits where it breaks and you can't really get your head around it, but then it just it becomes so synonymous with the identity of this band, which is just so like amorphous and so like horrible that it just actually makes sense. And like its lack of like it can't be put in a box. Like it's just pouring over the edges, and that's and even down into the vocal performance itself, it just does these really odd, like diverse moments that just like define the character of it.
Some could argue that the guy's got a voice that is a bit Pete Rono of death metal, couldn't he? Some could argue
that. Yes, you could say that.
There's totally something about his voice. Like, there's that moment. I can't think of what track it's in. I was looking through my notes because I'm sure I've made a note of it. But there's a bit where he goes like, like, it's fucking mad, but it sounds so cool. And every time it happens, I'm like there in the car with my headphones on, just like doing that, like I just did, like that weird squeak. And it's just something about it. It's just all personality at the end of the day, isn't it? It's just all personality, and it just really draws you into Replicant as a band. They're just something. Everybody's performances are just really like idiosyncratic in such a great way. Like the guitarist does these like fucking bizarre lead lines that you'd never hear anybody do, and he does a lot of this kind of like just sort of like sliding his hand up the board in the middle of a riff, like he'd be like, and it'd be so strange and it's so disorientating, but it always works, and it just really piles into that. Like the album feels like it was recorded live. Like I don't know if it was or not, but it really feels like it was.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Definitely.
Little ad libs and stuff like that on the guitar playing and the drumming and the bass player. Like the bass player's fucking sick as well. Like there's loads of moments where the bass player like really sort of sticks his neck out and does these little bits, like writes these little bass like lead runs and stuff that are really fucking cool. I just fuck, oh man, it's so cool. Like, it's just everything about this record. I've been listening to this record obsessively for months, and it's just everything about it. Like, there's the moments that it breaks down. Like, there's that moment where it goes into like a full on two step, and the vocalist goes, and it goes into a full on two step in the middle of a dissonant death metal album. Like, you've never heard that happen. No one has ever heard that happen, and I struggle to believe that anyone will ever hear it happen again. Yeah. Maybe on the next Replicant record. Excess Womb. That is it.
Excess Womb. That's it. It just starts out like a fucking hardcore song. It's just absolutely brilliant. And like, there's like pinches all over the fucking track that like the pinches hit like a fucking shiv at like every junction. They're all over the shop and they are fucking brilliant. Like, and there's, it'll go from that. Like, it'll be like a hardcore song, and then there'll be like all these pinches, and then it'll go into like a massive, like a real, like classic, like earworm death metal riff, and it's just like all of those fucking different things coming together to just become the most destructive version of all of those things. Like, it's fucking so sick, dude.
Mate.
Oh, mate, this band is absolutely incredible. Like, it's really just unhinged. It's like uninhibited. It's tropeless. It's creative. Yeah. It's progressive. It's repugnant. It's just fucking brilliant. it's everything.
Hey, uninhibited. That is like a really great way to describe it. Like, these guys don't want to try and fit in any sort of box at all. They don't give a fuck about fitting into a box. They do not give a fuck. That's
just
it.
Smash like, it up, set it on fire.
We're gonna have like black metal blast beats and two steps in the same fucking song, yeah. And there ain't a fucking damn thing you could do about it. They're just an absolute law unto themselves, and I love it. And like before, when I was waiting for you to get in, I was watching like looking for videos of them on YouTube, and they just look like proper like old school death metal dudes. Like they're one of them was wearing like a Morbid Angel shirt, like. They look like they should just sound like a poor man's Cannibal Corpse, and yet they sound like this. It's fucking great. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't judge a band by what they look like, but you kind of, you know, you get used to an aesthetic for bands, yeah. And there's never really an aesthetic for bands like this. And so when you see them, I looked at them and I thought, oh, they just look like a almost like a thrash band or something. And they're just outrageous, like jazzy, techie madmen. Like, I couldn't believe it. Mate.
Yeah, this thing is fucking, it's fucking special, man. It's fucking special. Like, also wanted, like, I would actually recommend, like, listen to Negative Life first and then listen to Malignant Reality. Like, that is fantastic. That 2018 album was wicked. Like, that, it got, yeah, we just got so hyped, like, listening to that. I knew Negative Life, I was going to like it, like, just looking at the cover. It was, like, so awesome, this, like, crazy gold shit that just, you just know you're going to fucking love it. Like, there's a track on there, I think it's Oceans of Dust, and I think it's one of the first points in that album where they sort of do the thing that you end up loving loads about Malignant Reality, that those bits where they just sort of, like, just absolutely lock their fucking jaws on like some big groovy riff and just fucking have it for like a minute. yeah, it's such a wicked record, man. Like, definitely go check out Negative Life as well.
Yeah, I haven't really dug into that one. I've just kind of been glued to this one, really. I need to go and get into it, because I kind of did the same thing with Blood Incantation. I got really into like the most recent one, and I was like, I should probably try. Like, I went back and check out Starspawn, and it's like, fuck me, this one's sick. Just as sick, maybe a little bit sicker even. And so, yeah, I should definitely do the same. Go back and, like, I mean, I did it with Imperial Triumphant as well, to be fair. Like, I got really into, Alpha Phil, but then I went back and, like, listened to Vile Luxury, and Vile Luxury is just as fucking awesome. And, I will do. But this is just so fucking cool. Like, plays into it plays into what I look for in bands, because it's, you know, at their core they're a death metal band, but also they love just doing fucking crazy shit. Like, you know, they've got ADHD And just every fucking, every moment when it transitions into a next riff is like Christmas Eve, isn't it? It's like you're so excited about what's going to happen. You just can't wait, and they never stop baffling you. Mate, absolutely. But they never stop baffling you. Like, I mean, like I say, I've listened to this album too many times to count. I couldn't even tell you. And I still get surprised by things that happen. Like that last track, the last track's like, what's it called? It's called The Ubiquity of Time. It's like a 12-minute, no, I'll exaggerate that, but it's like a
nine-minute, yeah.
It's like a nine-minute song, but it has this weird thing where it kind of ends and then it kind of starts again with something. It has this kind of like, you know, like how you used to get like secret tracks on albums when?
Yes.
Like you get like 5 minutes of silence and then another song would start in the end. It's kind of like that, but they're obviously like for the digital generation, they know that there's no point in having like 5 minutes of silence because people just click till they find a song. So it just kind of stops and then starts again. But that last little bit at the end is so, it's like a little sort of, like a little epilogue for the album. It's so cool. It's almost, it's like completely instrumental and it's very strange, but very cool. And it's just stuff like that all through the album will just constantly keep surprising you. I fucking love this album. It's so cool.
It's so, so sick. Like, this is absolutely, absolutely, like, it's up there. Like, album of the year material.
It's well on the list, mate. It's just well on the list.
It's like, it's been stapled to the list. It's incredible. Like, I really hope everyone gets their heads around this and just falls in love with it the way that we are. And I feel like the things that we love about it is what's going to pull all the listeners towards it. Like,
yeah,
just
agreed.
How, you know, there's loads of people, like loads of homies in the group that absolutely love this, like challenging, like wonked up dissonant stuff. And just with so many more moments to just catch a hold of, like, it's that, like, it's this like metalcore sensibility in the way that like they put something together that's actually super really catchy, but like you just apply that to like fucking horrible music
and yeah, to everyone a mental just genre, comes away yeah.
Everyone just comes away winning. Like, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, mate. I totally agree with you, man. Like, I thought to myself, like, is there a reason we got sent it so early? Is it like, did the people at Transcendent Obscurity think this is a sort of album that's going to take a long time to like really absorb, so we should get it out to reviewers early so they've got time to? But there is, like, I think it's plenty instantaneous as well. Like, you don't need,
yeah, for sure,
you don't need to sit and like, it's not like a fucking like the Daughters record where you've really got to sit and like learn to love it and then it like reveals itself. It's got instantaneous grab factor as well as having that element of like getting more out of it every time you listen to it.
I think they just knew it was that good that if they release it earlier, they'll just sell more merch, because there's no way, because me and Gary have both done the same thing.
It worked on me, yeah.
Yeah, like, just, like, you just listen to it, you're like, well, I have to order a shirt now. I've like got to that point in the album like where I just have to order a shirt. We both have.
Mine came the other day. I was well chuffed with it. It's like just got the front cover of the album on it, but I'm perfectly happy with that. That's usually more your kind, your move. You like,
oh yeah, album art. Gary's not really a album art merch type guy. I like an album art T-shirt, but he's not. That's not Gary's vibe at all.
I would never usually go that way. That's not really like, it's not often my move, but. It was just too sick and I couldn't hand it. And it's got like Malignant Reality written down the arm of it. Like, it's really cool. It's really cool. I love it. Yeah, mate, you guys have all got to go check this album out. It's so fucking sick. It's called Malignant Reality and it's by the band Replicant. So when we were supposed to be recording yesterday, we kind of decided to give Brutal News a miss. As luck would have it, because we've taken an extra day to record, there's actually like a very significant piece of Brutal News to talk about. And that is the announcement that Mastodon are going to be releasing a new album. Finally, the follow-up to Emperor of Sand. The album is going to be called Hushed and Grim. Comes out on October the 29th. The front cover is like sort of black and grey and... really, like, unlike what you would usually get from Mastodon. Usually Mastodon's colour albums are so, like, psychedelic and really bright. And I kind of saw it, like, because they released the art as, like, fragments that you had to kind of slot together. you know, like they posted like one piece of it on Instagram, they posted another piece of it on Twitter, and you had to kind of gather them all up and put it together, and then you got like the whole thing. And so you kind of, we were all kind of sat living with the art before we had any idea what anything sounded like on the album. And I was looking, I was like, oh, hushed and grim. And the art's like grey. Oh God, what's this album? This is going to be like, Mastodon are going to be like going full doom. But now there's a single. Luckily, where we had to wait that extra day, well, there's a single. The single's called Pushing the Tides. And I'll tell you what, mate. It's a fucking absolute rocking, rollicking good time, this one. Not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, like I was... Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it's like a 3-minute rager. Like, it's got fucking single written all over it. And if you look at the track, the album's got 15 tracks and they're kind of separated into like three movements. So I think it's going to be more kind of like, generally Mastodon have got a bit of a cycle, haven't they? They kind of give you like a sort of more straight up album and then a more proggy album. And then they kind of flip backwards and forwards. And then arguably like Emperor of Sand was like quite straight up. So I guess it is time to get a proggier Mastodon album. But the single kind of tells a different story, but I don't know if maybe where the album is in sort of movements, maybe there's like it kind of starts,
that would make sense,
starts rockier and kind of gets more weird as it goes on.
I was definitely like, I was like feeling like this was just going to be like really like heavy and haunting or something like that, just because how much grey there was. You're like, oh mate, this is going to be fucking, yeah, like you said, like it's just going to be a fucking doom album or something.
So, yeah, that's, I was really ready, you know, have like, what's his name all over it, Scott Walker, you know, when they do stuff with Scott Walker and it's really fucking, really like heavy. It's Scott Walker, isn't it? The geezer from Neurosis, right? I think that's his name.
Scott Walker. Yeah.
I need to stop doing that. I need to stop just saying stuff, assuming that I'm right, and then it turns out I'm completely wrong. It's not pro at all. Oh, it is right. Scott Walker, The Drift. Yep. Oh, Scott Kelly. Fuck.
Scott Kelly.
Bollocks. Now I sound really stupid. Can you edit that out? To make me sound less stupid, please?
Yeah. I won't edit it out. I'll just say, everybody, Gary didn't say that. What are you on about? That's easy.
Just plausible deniability. So that we can upload this to the internet. So I will have no plausible deniability of any kind. Scott Kelly, you know, the geezer from Neurosis. I knew it's the geezer from Neurosis. Every now and then he sort of collaborates with Mastodon, and they're generally like the sort of doomier, more weird songs. And I don't know if he's involved in a new album or not at all, but yeah, this new single just fucking, it goes, doesn't it? It's got a really, really big chorus hook. It's like really catchy.
It's
really
so fucking
goddamn catchy,
dude. Like, I don't know, like, what to expect, really, like, with it. I wasn't sure. I didn't really look at the track listing, so I didn't realise there was going to be, like, this sort of, like, potential, like, movements through different stuff.
Yeah.
Like, which sounds fucking, that sounds fucking sick as hell. But, yeah, this was, like, much brighter than I expected, like, when I came into it. I was just like, this is absolutely lovely. Like, oh, my mum could listen to this.
Yeah, man. It could go on the radio. Go to that daytime radio, no one would bat an eyelid. Everyone would be like, oh, this is pretty cool. I like this. Nodding their head. Which is rad. Like, I never really got... I kind of loved, like, Remission and Leviathan. And then I kind of just kind of drifted away on Mastodon. I never really came back until Emperor of Sand. And I was just like, fucking hell. Emperor of Sand's so good. It made me want to, like, go back and check. And then I just, you know, I've been absorbing all of the older albums like a madman ever since then. And like Crack the Sky, like I fucking love Crack the Sky. That album's so cool. But
I think Crack the Sky is the one I've listened to the most out of all of them. Yeah. I never got back, you know, when they like first came out, like Leviathan and that sort of stuff. And like, I actually never really got around to listening to it. It was just a band that I like knew existed. And I saw them play with Metallica once, and it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, they were on a Metallica thing. It was like, I'm pretty sure it was like Machine Head, Mastodon. It was him were playing as well, and then Metallica.
Oh, that lineup was going to be so good, and then you said him. And
no, but it was sick because I fucking hate him. But
him is shit. Like, the entire, why do people like him?
Because the entire time that him played, I queued up to get a pie and it was really long. Like, so by the time I queued up, eaten it, come back, found everyone, like they'd just finished. It was like, it was awesome.
Couldn't have worked out better for you.
It was a gift, really. It was good that they were, because I needed to munch. Like, and you needed a disposable pan on the bill there to go and get a pie.
To go get your dinner. Couldn't have worked out better. Yeah. Mate, Remission is fucking wicked. There's a track on Remission called Mother Puncher, which is so good. It's just riff after riff. Like, that album's fucking rad. But that was like, that was kind of like my Mastodon. And then they started changing what they sounded like. And I was really like, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about all of this, like, all this rock and roll type stuff. Nah, I'm all right. I'm just going to stick to listening to Remission because I like these proggy, dirty metal. And then I got really into Empress Sand and felt really silly and went back and like, I was like, oh God, yeah, Mastodon are fucking amazing, aren't they? What am I playing at? So now I'm really psyched about this new album. I can't wait, man. October 29th, the week after Every Time I Die, not the same week as Every Time I Die, which somebody put in the group.
Thank fuck.
That would be just too much. That would just be too much. That would be too much to deal with. Mastodon and Every Time I Die releasing an album same day. That's just too much, man. Fucking hell. But another bit of awesome brutal news, which is another album coming out on the October the 29th. They're big favourites of us on the show. Melbourne deathcore band voted most surprising that they aren't signed to Unique Leader. They go by the name of Zeolite. They're going to be releasing their debut record. We've talked about these guys a few times on the show. A couple of singles. We talked about an EP that they had out. But they're finally going to be releasing an album. The album's called... I don't know how to say it. How do you say it? Proselytism. How's that? That'll work. Proselytism. I don't know. It's called something like that. It's coming out on the 29th of October. There's a couple of singles that are coming out, but they've released a new single to kind of go with the announcement. And hopefully we'll cover the record on the show. So I don't want to get too much into the single, but I will say it's called Sculpture of Torment and it's fucking sick.
It's absolutely fucking massive.
And it's absolutely huge, that it's single. So sick. So fucking huge.
Like,
I can't wait for this album.
We've just been so excited for an album from these guys for a long, long time. Like, since when we first listened to them, there was, what was the EP? Was it just called the Zeolite EP? I think it might just be called that.
Maybe.
We've just been Zeolite, there was a EP 2016. Like, I think we didn't hear of them until they put the single out, Ruination, in 2018. But
Sermonis Mortis, that's the name of the EP.
Yeah, when that came out, we were just like, holy fuck. This literally, this is on par with anything Die Art have done in the last few albums. Like, that's how fucking good this band is. Like,
they're like an unsigned band from Melbourne, yeah.
Such a prospect in the deathcore scene, and they've just been smashing out really, really good singles, and now we're finally gonna have the full meal that we've add our fucking napkins around our napkins withered and it's covered in shit now, but I'm ready for this full meal, dude. I can't wait for it.
One thing that I will say is the front cover looks like he's got that dickhead from Ghost on it, doesn't it? You know, what's his name?
Oh,
Papa
yeah.
Smurf or whatever they fucking call him.
Papa Smurferitis.
Yeah, that fucking prick. Looks like he's got him on the front cover. But even that's not going to put me off this album. I can't fucking wait, man. I can't wait. Yeah, new album from Zeolite. That will definitely be making an appearance on the show. Looking forward to that one.
Yes.
Dude, let's talk about another album, man. Let's talk about fucking The Boys. We're going to talk about Mastiff. Mastiff are a five-piece sludge doom hardcore, sludoomcore band from they're from Hull in the UK, and this is their second full-length album. It's called Leave Me the Ashes of the Earth. It comes out today, Friday the 10th, through E1 Heavy. We talked about Plague on the show back in 2019. It's one of the most heavy things I may have ever heard in my entire life. It's just absolutely to the point of being obnoxious. That is, it's just so heavy. Plague is just fucking nihilistic, absolutely nihilistic. It was one of those things though, I don't know, sometimes it's a bit too much, and it kind of, to me, it kind of became a little bit of a dirge. But then when I heard that first single from this, they kind of found a way to turn what they do into songs. Yeah. Like it's still got all of the core ingredients that make Mastiff stand out. It's still one of the most obnoxiously heavy things ever. But they've found a way to like actually turn it into like proper something you can actually release a single of, rather than it just being like trying to snoggle Lawnmower. Like it's just fucking it's just like this new album, the step up from Plague to this album is like interstellar, isn't it? It's insane.
It's banging, mate. Literally, like when that single came out, it knocked my fucking tits off. Like they've really, really, yeah, like they've just added like 25 different strings to their bow. Like yeah, Plague was amazing, but it is it's like a relentless bludgeoning. It's like being like forced through some sort of like machinery where there's all pistons stamping things out. And you're just going through, you're just getting smashed and smashed, and then fed through back again and get smashed and smashed down. But like there's a massive like step up. Like there's a lot of like grindcore in this. Like there's a lot of death metal in this. Like there's loads of hardcore, loads of metalcore, and they're just all coming together and just sounding absolutely as fucking heavy as it like it fit. Like what I got from like listening to the first, like when after I listened to this for the first way through, I was kind of like, yeah, this is kind of like the British like answer to like the End album. Like it's like they saw that like take something that's like sort of like hardcore at its heart and just make it fucking incredibly heavy and just that's kind of what I feel like this album has done. Like they've seen it and they've gone, challenge accepted, like let's fucking get on it. Like that's the bar that we need to be at.
I could not agree with you more there, man. Like honestly, I feel like I could press charges on Mastiff for assault after listening to this album. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking like a proper shock to the system. I love it. Like, I like what you're saying. Like, these guys, I don't know. Obviously, they're clearly very partial to Converge. Like, but who isn't partial to Converge? But there's so many bands out there who take their influence from Converge way too far to the point where you just sound exactly the same as them. And I feel like what Mastiff have done have just kind of taken a little bit of it and just like sort of peppered it into that really doomy thing that they were doing on Plague. And the other thing that I love about this album, much like I was saying with Replicant, actually, like there's just no bullshit. Like you think how many bands have gone, oh, everybody's like doing like post-punky or like industrial shit in their music now, so we should probably like go in the studio, play around with a load of synths, like try and pretend that we're Trent Reznor for a bit and see what we can do. And I feel like Mastiff have just gone, nah, fuck that bollocks. Like if we do that, that will make our album sound like it came out in 2021, and it will always sound like it came out in 2021 when that was hype, when that was like the zeitgeist to do. And I feel like what they've done is they've gone, nah, we're just gonna write like a timeless, really aggressive black and hardcore record. Like we're not trying to sound like now, we're not trying to sound like a specific period, we're not trying to sound like 2003 or whatever. Like we're just gonna make something that's like black and hardcore but just really just fucking timeless. And
yeah, it's like
they've nailed that, man. They've absolutely nailed that. There's no gimmicks, there's nothing about this that you could ever go, oh, they're just trying to lock on to whatever scene. They're just trying to catch on to whatever band's hype. You couldn't say that about Mastiff at all. Mastiff are doing what they want. They're making the best kind of music that they can, like, you know, they're based on the music that they fucking love. And I'm so into that. I'm so into how genuine this band are.
Yeah, man. Abso-fucking-lutely. Like, I really love like how the opening in the album, like it sort of like broods and it like swells until it like starts to implode.
And the way like, that it comes
like,
in is
reflected later as well. Like there's really cool elements that just like carry on throughout this. Like there's the repetition of like the endless suffering, like endless pain. I'm pretty sure it's endless rain as well, which is basically what it's like to be British. Endless suffering, endless rain. That is basically like it's just repeat throughout the album, and it just really like hammering home just like the banality of fucking modern life.
I don't know how many times I've been just wandering around just going, futile, futile, ba-da-da-dum, futile. Like, it's just so, it's so catchy and it's such a simple thing to do, but like, it just gets into your head, doesn't it? You're like, life is fucking futile. You're right, mate. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, man.
They're saying what I'm thinking, you know?
Mate, there's a bonkers fucking brilliant breakdown at the end of Hellish. Repulse. I don't know why I said Hellish. There's a Hellish breakdown at the end of Repulse, which is like...
I see what you did there.
It's fucking incredible. Like Midnight Creeper has like some really cool like Napalm Death stuff. Like grind stuff. And then Napalm Death really sounded like, bleh, I can't speak. Guys, I've had like a really busy few days and my brain's not all right today. Fucking Blade Sabbath, brilliant name by the way. Like that had like loads of Napalm Death in it. Like I just, really loving how much fucking grind is in this record, dude. And it just makes it infinitely heavier.
Yeah, man. And then they juxtapose it with a track like Futile or like Endless, like the last song, when it's just got that like hypnotic nature to it. Like I remember the first time we got this, I was out walking the dog and I was in the middle of a field and I was just listening to like that sort of that just that dum dum, that like the way it kind of drones out at the end while I was just in this field. And I was just like, all right, I'm ready. I was like, lightning strike me down. Like, I was just ready to die at that point. It just made me, it just completely broke me as a person, which I'm sure is the whole purpose of Mastiff as a band, is to try and break you down. And it just fucking worked. It just really caught me. And I've really felt that with this album. Like, I feel like they're like working class hardcore band, aren't they? And I love it.
That's it, man. That's it. And they've just pulled off this fucking absolute banger of a record. It's just really, it's just well put together. It's super cohesive. Like, there's like really good like opener and an ender. And I'm a sucker for like that sort of like those sort of like bookends on albums. Like, I love stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's cool.
It just, it all frames it brilliant. It's just a mangled, snarling fucking bucket of grinded up, cored up death sludge. Like, I don't know what you can't put them in a box, mate. It's just like you were saying, like they're not going like, right, we're gonna get these tropes like that are current and just fucking smash them together and get through it. It's like the objective was like, let's just make a fucking really good heavy record, and they've just made just like a fucking just intensely heavy record, and it's gonna stick around for a good ass while, man. Like, I was thinking, like, what do you reckon, what's the last like the heaviest record that came out from like a UK band? I was like, you think back to obviously like Black Tongue, like Nadir, like that's probably like the,
what about the last Leached record is probably Leached where record. My mind would
I think it was produced at the same place. I think they like, so that's really why it sounds so fucking incredible. It sounds like the Leached record.
Yeah.
And that Ozaya record, like the Ozaya, Leached, and yeah, like those four bands are definitely like just wrestling for the heaviest fucking band in the UK.
Mate, it's a fist fight. It's an absolute fist fight. And I feel like Mastiff probably bring a knife to a fist fight in this situation. Mate, this is a really, really, really cool record from a really cool UK band. I'd strongly recommend you checking it out. I feel like everyone probably already has by now, where we're a little bit behind the pace to our normal pace, but even still, if you haven't, go listen to it. It's called Leave Me in the Ashes of the Earth, and it's by the band Mastiff. Give it a fucking spin, mate. It is the tits. It is the titties.
Give it a fucking spin.
Give it a fucking spoon mush. Right, last record we're going to talk about this week came out a little while ago. The band are called Burial in the Sky. They're a progressive death metal band from Philly. The album is called The Consumed Self. It's their third studio album, and it came out on the 13th of August. So, Sonny, you wanted to talk about this. Yeah. You wanted to add this into the running order. And after listening to it, like, once, I can see exactly why. And that is because it shares fucking loads of DNA with Rivers of Nile. I read a review for this album by the Angry Metal Guy, and he referred to it as Rivers of Nile with riffs. So make of that what you will.
Yeah.
I feel like in the wake of like Owls, I feel like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, it was your album of the year. A lot of people have really, really latched onto that band and that record. And I feel like there's a new place, a new kind of appreciation for this kind of more progressively minded technical death metal. Like, people are more open to it. And there's been a couple of really fucking good examples of it that have come out this year. We haven't talked about it on the show, but the Illustrium record that came out is fucking amazing if you're into this sort of thing. You know, the proggy nerds have emerged from the shadows and they're ready to be acknowledged for the badasses that they are. This is kind of like when comic book movies became like the big thing and suddenly everyone likes comic books. Like, come on now, you don't like comic books. We like comic books. You just like the films. And that's kind of the same thing with this sort of music, I think. But anyway, fucking hell, man. I think this is an album that a lot of people need to file away, and they might want to bring it back out again on September the 24th. I'm just putting it out there. Mate, this album has got more dimensions than an episode of Rick and Morty, isn't it? Fucking hell. this album, it's amazing. Like, I started off listening to it so cynically, thinking this is just Rivers and Nile knockoff band. But the more you spend, more time you spend with it, the more you just realise this is just absolutely fucking brilliant.
It's so good. I messaged you the other day and I was like, look, I've just kind of become obsessed with this album. And you're like, oh, I fucking wonder why. I'm like, yeah, all right, guilty. But like, it is amazing. You're totally right. We're in this space where like the now... Like, yeah, Rivers, obviously, where I was, it's a couple years ago now, but like, it takes time for these things to ripple through. Like, and like, now we're like feeling like, you know, we're feeling the wake of it, like, hit these other bands, and like, they've been working on stuff long enough now. Cause I think with this music as well, it doesn't just come together in like 2 weeks,
no.
Does it? Like, it's like,
no,
something
definitely
that takes
doesn't.
So long to create. Yeah. And now
this
we're
is years
we're,
in the making, absolutely.
We're getting this, like, Where Owls Know My Name worship. And it is so fucking good, but it's absolutely got its own identity as well, which is brilliant. Like, obviously, there's buckets of saxophone, but what got me really, really excited is the first track on the album, basically, The Soft Violet Light. The singing on it is fucking brilliant. I listen to that track, like, every time it gives me goosebumps. It is wicked. I just knew, like, just like that like delicate handling of like this really cool melody, I'd already listened to a little bit later, like I think I'd heard a different track, and then like, but it didn't necessarily have the singing in, so I didn't know that was what I was in store for. But like, yeah, just the first time I listened to Soft Violet Light, I was like, oh god, we're it. This is good. This Mate. Is just absolutely fucking super, super exciting now.
Like you say, that like that sort of really soft, really delicate approach to the melodic vocals. It's like really, it's quite different. It's quite different from a lot of the kind of melodic vocals you get. Obviously, people were kind of, I don't know, they're probably vibing off of Michael Akerfeld from Opeth, right? And so they go for that really big, belting, classic like metal style of singing, whereas this guy is going for a much more almost like a kind of folk style, like a folky approach to the way he sings. Almost it's like really sort of just kind of like gentle, and it just works so well.
What I like, so the track Mountains Part 2, right, that's like one of the tracks where this is like really lovely, slow, heartfelt moments, and like the fucking saxophones in there and the beautiful singing mate. All at once. And
mate,
like,
that song's straight up baby making music, isn't it? Fuck it out, it's so good.
It's insane. Like the way that it like works it back and like works its way back to the melody, like the all the different sort of parts of the band all come back and like meet each other, and you're getting everything all at once. It really made me like his like the singing kind of reminded me of like Exit 10. Like it was like
okay.
That was what I was thinking of, like that hadn't really heard a vocal like that since like Exit 10, which I used to fucking really love.
I think that should be on our one of our Riffstory episodes, shouldn't it? What's it called? Is it called Remember the Day? Is that the name of the album?
Yes.
Or is that just one of the songs?
Remember
on it?
The Day. There is fucking, I don't know. I'm not going to look it up right now.
Doesn't matter. But yeah, that's like, yeah, that's some fuck. They just nailed like melodic vocals in heavy music the way that they did it. It was so fucking bang on. And yeah, it's just refreshing. And I tell you what, mate, when the bassist whips out his fucking saxophone, you just float away, don't you? You just fucking float away. There's a few moments on this album where there's like a saxophone and a guitar solo going on at the same time.
Yes.
Like in a, what's it called, Mechanisms of Loneliness, there's a bit when they're kind of like dueling off of each other on the sax and the guitar. And it's fucking awesome. Can I just say before, Mechanisms of Loneliness is basically a Between the Buried and Me song. Like the way it starts, it's Selkies by Between the Buried and Me. I just want to put that out there because you're always telling me you don't like them, but then you tell me you like this.
You do like
Between the Buried and Me. It's,
I knew it was coming.
It's just a matter of time, mate. You just got to open your arms to it because you're a fan waiting to happen. Trust me. But yeah, when those two things start happening together, it's just beautiful. It's just fucking beautiful. It's so cool. I really like this new thing. Like, rather than just getting like a saxophonist to guest and pop up on one song, like one of the members of the band's like, fuck it, I'm going to learn saxophone. Like we talked about Fractal Universe, and we did the same thing. Like,
yeah,
I just love it. I just love it. And then they just pepper it in all over. Like you get like little pockets of it all over the album. And it's so lovely.
It's so complete, this album. It's got so many different emotions. It's got like really brilliant, like all over the shop, like full across the board vocal performance, like brilliant screams, like highs, lows, everything in between. It just gives you everything that you have come to expect from like, a modern, really good fucking tech death record. But yeah, just the singing, I think, gives it its, like, really sort of staples it, like, really gives it its own identity. And
yeah,
I'm just absolutely in love with it. Fucking.
Can I just mention as well the song Caught in the Azure Cradle, which is basically like an Absent Light era Misery Signal song. The way it, like, it's got that, like, that sort of technical metalcore, like, feel to it, and I love it. When that kicks off, that track, it's because it comes off the back of Mountains Part 2, doesn't it? Like, they're one track after the other.
Yeah.
And, like, Mountains Part 2 ends, it goes into this massive epic part. It's got this fucking Carlos Santana guitar solo, and it's just so, like, it's so beautiful. And then they just boot off with that next track that just goes full on fucking riffs and heavy shit. It's really well sequenced as well, this album. Like, it's a real journey to listen to, isn't it? It really throws you about. It's fucking like masterfully put together.
Yeah, it's just really super exciting. Really fucking great record. Like, just stumbled across it a couple of like just the back end of last week, and I've been listening to just every single day. It's so good. And yeah, that's why we wanted to just get it on the show, because like I know that the homies are gonna fuck with this hard.
Yeah.
And I was super surprised that I just hadn't come across it, or like hadn't been posted somewhere, and you know, just these guys are really under the radar right now. They've got like, I think they've got about like 1800 like Instagram followers. Like they've got like 6,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Like this band just deserves so much more, man. Like they are absolutely one to watch. Like this is, yeah, like it's made me excited for what, you know, whatever the next album is going to be. And I guess that's the way you always think about it, because it's something that I've like just discovered, and it's only just come out. I haven't had to, you know, get the hype of it. It's just, I've just been falling in love with it.
Just and, kind yeah, of thrown this is just the deep end of it. Yeah.
Just a band like just coming into that tech death scene and fucking smashing the ass off it. I think it's my favorite tech death record like I've listened to all year, and it's probably because I'm a saxophone slut, but fuck it. Like, you know, other things that would put up there that have been really good from tech death, obviously Ophidian Eye is great.
Yeah, but
Ophidian
Eye
it's got like one gear. That gear is fucking brilliant. But this has just got dimensions.
It's like, hectic, isn't it? That album is hectic. And there's like moments to kind of get introspective and shit on this album that there just isn't on the Ophidian Eye album. And I really do. I do think that potentially in 2 weeks, if you find yourself on New Music Friday a little bit butthurt for some reason or another, like, I'm, you know, I'm not going to say why, but if you find yourself a little bit butthurt by something that you might have listened to, then it's going to be good to have this album to grab hold of, because it might ease the pain. Just a little heads up there, little public service announcement for everybody. Including you, because you don't know what I'm talking about yet, do you?
I haven't listened. We've got it. I can't bring myself to listen to it.
You're scared. I reckon you're scared, mate.
I'm too scared to listen.
I reckon you're shook. I keep saying to you, I reckon you're shook. You're scared to listen to it.
Right now. I'm going to get into it this weekend. I'm going to do Aborted, and then I'm going to take the dog for a really nice big walk and get right inside Rivers and see what happens.
And then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to tell you all about how much we love it.
But yeah, like, this is just an absolute, it's a real gem in the scene right now. Like, people just need to go and check this album out, because I know you're all going to fuck with it hard. So
yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking
Burial
sick.
In the
it's
Sky. Called,
yeah, The Consumed Self by Burial in the Sky. Make sure you give it a go. It's very
Get
cool.
It up,
it's a very cool album. Mate,
fucking
some fucking
right.
absolutely grade A jams that we talked about this week. Yeah. Replicant. Fuck me. Mastiff.
Replicant.
Fuck me. Burial in the Sky. Fuck, it's just great all, shit, man. Just fucking
I think
great,
all three
great
of these
shit.
Albums are going to have to be on my end of year list. Like, literally, it's they're all that strong. It's fucking
This
incredible.
Is the trouble, though. There's too much. Basically, we got 2 years of albums in 1 year, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
Like, we've got a lot of albums that were supposed to come out last year that have come out this year. And it's just making it impossible for a man to write a top 20 albums of the year list, bearing in mind the albums that we have got yet to come out, that some I know of and some I don't. And I'm sure that there's plenty. I've got a couple of big spaces at the top of my list that I'm writing, because I know there's a couple of things that are gonna find themselves on there. But yeah, it's an exciting time to be a metalhead for sure.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Hell yeah. Right.
I'll tell you what, son. We didn't
bit
talk about something up top, which we normally would do.
Oh.
We went to a show, didn't we? We didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it, but I wanted to just kind of bring it up before we closed out. It was absolutely fucking amazing. I had a great time. We went to see Celestial Sanctuary at the Black Heart. I believe it was their first proper show in front of people. Is that right?
Yeah.
They've done a couple of live streamy bits, but they haven't actually done a show in front of a crowd of people. And it was fucking amazing. You would never have told that they weren't like a band that have been that existed for years. Yeah. I love, like, shout out Tom, homie of the show. I love how Tom clearly has never done the frontman thing, because he has no idea how to be a frontman, but that just makes him so much more endearing, because he doesn't have all of those like pre-programmed frontman tropey things to say already in his head. So as a result, he just says like weird little things. Like, so we went like, so last couple of years have been a bit weird for everyone, haven't they? Like stuff like that. It was just so fucking funny. Yeah. And then they do an encore, but they only know so many songs as a band, so they had to play the same song again as an encore. Stuff like that was so endearing, but they absolutely killed it. And I have like, I just wanted to say, like, I kind of have a newfound appreciation for that old school death metal sound, because I've never been and seen a band doing that kind of thing live, really. Up until this point, it's only really been on record, and like 9 times out of 10 bands on record sound like shit. But the second you get them in that live sound, you get a proper snare sound. You get vocals you can fucking hear that don't just sound like reverby mess. You can actually hear what's going on. Like, what was that? What the support band? Slime Lord, wasn't it? The Slime Lord that played in support, who I've checked out before, and I was just like, this is just no. This is just like that fucking, what's it called? Sangry Seeger Bog, just like messy, horrible nonsense. But live, it fucking went off, and I really, really dug it. And so I feel like I've been given a newfound appreciation for that old school death metal sound as a result of going to a show. So
you've been
keep
baptized
your eyes
in
peeled.
The filth.
Yeah, I've been baptized in the slime, and and I'm a new man. But yeah,
Dave
so like, big up
Phillips
Celestial Sanctuary. Yeah, Dave Benson Phillips baptized me in slime. And also, I just wanted to big up Mitch. It was good to see you there at the show. And also, big up to Sammy Irwin from Church Road, Employed to Serve, starting every single mosh pit. That was so fucking great.
That was so good.
I love it. You think there's so many people in the music industry, they would just be too cool to do something like that. Too cool. I'm going to stand at the back of the room with my arms folded. I'm too cool for a mosh pit. Not Sam, no. He's right in there, literally starting every single mosh pit that happened. He's there fucking big boots on, pushing people around. I just thought it was fucking class.
Yeah.
Absolutely great
fucking
time.
Fucking brilliant to see.
Really good show. Really fucking can't wait to get stuck into more. But yeah, big up to Celestial Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Absolutely sick, mate.
It was absolutely fucking brilliant. So sick. Can't wait to get to catch him again, man.
Yeah,
and
me
it
too.
Was a really good turnout and amazing crowd reaction.
Sold out, wasn't it?
As well, like amazing crowd reaction. Like they just kicked off. It kicked off. Like that is just the music they play is just so conducive to a fucking brilliant live show. Just great fucking riffs stacked. Yeah. It was so sick.
Seconded. I just wanted to drop. I should have said it up front. I forgot. I got distracted by my new Hoover. If Tom's listening and he's thinking, "Oh no, you bumped me to the end of the show for a new Hoover, you bunch of cunts." I'm sorry, but I had a great time.
Fuck yeah, man! Right, this episode is quite short and sweet. Didn't really plan. It's only been an hour and 10. There've been a few of them have been a bit quicker recently. I don't know why, but hey, that was nice. Lean.
Getting to the point, mate. Getting to the point. Nothing wrong with that. It's Friday night. I want to go and drink a beer, and you probably want to have something to eat. You ain't eaten any dinner yet.
I need some food. I'm going to order some chicken. Right. I'm going to order some chicken. Right.
Go order some chicken, and we'll see you next week.
Right. Peace out. Much love.
Bye.